It's Food Friday, and we're talking about Chinese homestyle dishes that our guest says any of us can make. And following the Lunar New Year that began January 22nd, a celebration of spring and the new year recognized by some Asian countries, including China, it might be the perfect time to try some Chinese dishes at home. And we want to know what you think at 1-800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite Chinese dish to cook, to eat? Is there a Chinese takeout dish you'd like to try making at home? What questions do you have about Chinese cooking? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, ideas@WPR.org. Maggie Ju is the full-time New York-based blogger, writer, recipe developer, and photographer. She's also the author of the new cookbook, Chinese Homestyle. Everyday plant-based recipes for takeout, dim sum, noodles, and more. Maggie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, you know, when some people think of Chinese food, they might think or probably think of pork or fish, but all of these recipes in your cookbook are plant-based. Why did you choose to use plant-based recipes?
It's actually, Chinese plant-based food has a long tradition because, you know, there is a Buddhist cuisine that was originated from monk food where they don't eat meat, you know, because they don't kill creatures. And but the food has been developed for like hundreds of years and become like its own genre, where they recreate all kinds of dishes, like, you know, the sweet and sour chicken, the orange beef, and like everything into plant-based by using produce, mock meat, and all kinds of fine ingredients. So my personal journey on plant-based food, actually, it was influenced by my husband, Thomas. So he is a runner, and he trains for a marathon and races. And he decided that we should try this out because he heard good things about plant-based food and just want to be like healthier in general. And we started this journey and we both really, really enjoyed it. He found out that plant-based food helped him recover faster from training. And pretty much we can do exercise like soon after we eat, and I don't feel like sluggish in the afternoon, and I reduce my coffee intake. So we started from there.
Very interesting. So this was part of a journey, but when I think of plant-based Chinese food, I wonder, what about the oyster sauce, Maggie?
So there is actually a vegetarian version of oyster sauce, and it's made with mushroom, and it's really, really similar to the original version. So that's your solution.
Oh, wow. So what are some of the basic tools then or ingredients that we'd be looking to have on hand in order to cook some of these dishes?
So I think you really don't need a ton of pantry ingredients because the basic ones are the soy sauce, the chinkang vinegar. It's also called black vinegar. It's like a very fermented, rich vinegar. And the Shaoxing wine is a cooking wine that is made with grains. And like you said, oyster sauce, that's like the plant-based one is a very good one. And the other things include very important fresh aromatics, which is ginger, garlic, and scallion. And these are like pretty much we use them in every dishes. And I think these are the bare minimum basic. And then, of course, there are different things like, you know, there are dried goods like chili peppers and mushrooms and all the other like good stuff that, you know, like black bean sauce and the chili oil. Like these two, I think, are like really, really gonna enhance your cooking a lot. They're so easy to use. You can pretty much put them in every dishes. So these are the basics.
I think sometimes how much I enjoy Chinese food and how intimidating that makes it for me to go try it in the kitchen. And then I open up your book, Chinese Homestyle, and I'm like, I can do this. I could make this. It's kind of exciting. Maggie Ju is our guest. Her new cookbook is Chinese Homestyle, Everyday Plant-Based Recipes for Takeout, Dim Sum, Noodles, and More. Answering your questions at 1-800-642-1234. We've already got the recipes posted on our website at WPR.org/Central Time. And let's get right into it, because I look at the scallion pancakes, Maggie, and I think, boy, there's just a few ingredients here: flour, water, oil, scallions, some peppercorns, and that's it for making the pancakes. It seems pretty simple.
It is. I mean, it takes a minute to make it, I have to admit. You know, I wouldn't make this for like a weekday dinner just because, you do have to make the dough and, you know, fold them. But once you try it, it's really not that hard. I think the trickiest part is to make the layers, because, you know, it's like you want to create that like kind of like a croissant, you know, the layered, fluffy, crispy texture. What you do is like making a croissant, you have to put like oil and the green onion, the scallion between the layers. So what I did in this recipe is to make a roux that is made with oil and flour. So this way you can actually spread it out, and they don't really like, instead of using oil, which a lot of recipe does, my recipe use this roux, so make the folding and assembling a lot easier.
Yeah, there's a few ingredients, but it's going to take a little time to put together. But it seems like it's something I could do, and it sounds like it's going to obviously be rewarding. But I'm going to want a little sauce on that, Maggie. So what kind of sauce are we putting on our scallion pancakes?
So I personally like to salt it. When I make them, I do put salt in it, and it's actually very flavorful. But if you want to have an extra sauce, I think a little bit soy sauce and vinegar and some sesame oil make a great sauce. That you can just do the 1:1 ratio for vinegar and the soy sauce and a touch of sesame oil. And also like a chili oil is always great on everything.
Well, and you actually have a recipe for us to make our own chili oil inside your cookbook.
Yes, that's I always have that ingredient in my pantry. It's in my fridge right now because it takes 5 minutes to make. It's so easy, and it's much more fragrant than the store-bought oil.
Maggie, how would you describe the main flavors in your recipes?
Oh, that's so hard to describe. So a short answer is I like savory dishes. Usually, it's multi-dimension because you use a lot of fermented things like soy sauce, the wine, and the black bean sauce to create those like savory tastes. But usually, in Chinese cooking, it is balanced with a little bit of sweetness, so you can find a little bit of sugar here and there. Not saying you have to add sugar into. No, it's not just about orange sauce or sweet and sour sauce, but a lot of brown sauce and those like even spicy dishes has a little bit of sugar in it to balance things out. And I personally do really, really love Sichuan food. The numbing spicy sauces with a lot of chili pepper. I really love that. That's like a totally different flavor profile, but yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it runs the gamut, but balance with a little bit of sweetness sounds delicious. And there's the other recipe here too that I want to get to that we've posted on our website at wpr.org/centraltime. Sesame noodles, and this one, Maggie, comes straight from your mom.
Oh, I love this a lot. It's actually tied into your previous question too. This one is it. I used sesame paste. It's a Chinese sesame paste. It's a rare, very similar to peanut butter. The unsweetened one. So it's very nutty, and you use that as a base for nuttiness. And you use vinegar, some soy sauce, sesame oil, like an aromatic ginger garlic, and then you add a touch of chili oil. It's just like very, very round up. Kind of complex sauce that is really good in everything. Like I use it noodles, but you can usually, you can use some vegetables like a dipping sauce, even on your toast. And my mom likes to make this in the summer because, it's too hot to just turn on the stove. So you just mix the sauce and put on your noodles, and that's done.
Right, with the scallion pancakes, it was just a few ingredients, but it would take some time to put together. With the sesame noodles, there's a lot going into it, but it just takes a few minutes to put it all together.
Yes.
And the other thing that I noticed here is in your cookbook, Chinese Home Style, you do have substitutions in there. Like you've got tahini as a possible substitute. You've got a substitute for some of the like the cooking wine. You could use some dry sherry instead. But some of this may require us to go to our local Asian grocery store, and some of us may have never been. What would you say, Magaju, for folks who would, want to try these with the authentic flavors, but have a little reluctance about going someplace they've never been before in their own community?
I think I highly recommend to, because a lot of the ingredients are really basic, things like soy sauce and the cooking wine and the vinegar. Once you buy them, you don't need to go to the market for like a year or if not longer. So if you can just gather your, courage and, because I think the biggest challenge is because the markets are kind of sometimes it's kind of chaotic and a little bit hard to navigate. So I tried my best to include pictures inside of the book so you can just like try to find I also have recommended brands so you can try to find things that are in the picture. Just look for these things. And if you don't have access to an Asian market, these days you can actually find most of these ingredients on Amazon. The
Oh.
only thing you cannot shop is the wine, because it's alcohol. It's like it has shipping issues. But the rest of the stuff you can, all of them you can find on Amazon.
In your sesame noodles, Maggie, you also include the option of having noodles that you can buy in the store or making them homemade. You've got a homemade noodle recipe in there. Seems a little daunting. Can you make it simple for us?
It's not that hard. You mix the dough by putting together the flour and the water. It's just a dough. You add a pinch of salt
It's
for the
just a dough.
structure. It's just a dough, and you roll it out. You just roll it. It's not that hard. And then the way you cut it is like after you roll it out, you kind of fold it, so you don't have to cut like a thin, like very long line. So you can just cut them and unfold it. It's become noodles. It's not that hard.
That's the way it looks. And I'm looking forward to trying this. Our guest is Maggie Ju. She is a full-time New York-based blogger, writer, recipe developer, and photographer. But she's also the author of the new cookbook, Chinese Homestyle, Everyday Plant-Based Recipes for Takeout, Dim Sum Noodles, and More. So join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us ideas@WPR.org with your questions for our Food Friday and our guest, Maggie Ju, as we continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret today, and we're picking up our talk with Maggie Ju. She is with us for Food Friday to talk about her new cookbook, Chinese Homestyle, Everyday Plant-Based Recipes for Takeout, Dim Sum, Noodles, and More. And we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have about cooking Chinese cuisine? Have you tried making Chinese dishes at home before? How did it go? Join us, 1-800-642-1234, email ideas@WPR.org. And before we get to our last recipe here, Maggie, got an email from Grant who asks if you could offer a favorite Hunan hot and sour vegetable noodle salad recipe. Hunan hot and sour vegetable noodle salad recipe. You got one of those in the cookbook?
Oh, God, I don't have that one. Sorry.
But I know you've got salads in the cookbook, and I know you've got some hot and sour, right?
Yeah, I have a hot and sour soup. And I have several noodle dishes here, but yeah, I don't have that one.
Well, let's get to vegetable chow fun. Again, the recipes can be found at WPR.org slash Central Time or in our guest new book, Chinese Homestyle. What goes into making vegetable chow fun, Maggie?
So I want to emphasize on the rice first. So when you make a like w when you want to like you want a chow fun to be the rice to be like have the grains are separated and they're crispy. So I like to use medium grain like jasmine rice or medium white rice to use for this. And what you want to do is to, not use freshly cooked rice. You actually want them to be a little bit stale. And what you can do is just to put them in put the rice in your fridge or freezer for a couple of days, and it will dry out the surface for a little bit, which is perfect for fried rice. So in this recipe, I used like mixed vegetables and some fried tofu, which give the rice a really fun texture. And if you don't have the fried tofu is a special ingredient. So this one you have to get from an Asian market. But no, don't worry. If you don't have this ingredient, I have a fried tofu. It's actually you don't even need oil to fry those tofu in your oven, and you can make those like really crunchy, crispy bites. And then I use some aromatics like garlic and scallion. Those are the seasoning that make your rice really, really fragrant, and and a touch of soy sauce to season the rice. And my secret ingredient here is the black bean sauce. I have the homemade black bean sauce in my first chapter. You can use a store-bought as well, but I really love the homemade one because it's very, very fragrant.
I have never been able to make a fried rice at home in a way that I thought, well, that's good. Not even it hasn't even met the good standard. I always wondered what I did wrong. And you say that some stale rice might be the key for that?
Yeah, so it's sometimes you just have to put it in the fridge for a couple of days. My favorite way, if you order some takeout and have leftover rice, just leave them in those paper containers and they kind of dry out a little bit, and then they're perfect for fried rice.
I very much appreciate that. There's a lot of mushrooms in the vegetable chow fun. Tell us, and in other recipes throughout your cookbook, Maggie, why are you such a big fan of the mushrooms? What do you find in these that add to your cooking?
I love mushrooms because they're just so tasty. It has this umami flavor. That is, I don't know. I think they have really fun textures, and they absorb a lot of like sauce really, really well. And you can make them into all different kinds of things. So I have, like, for example, I have the teriyaki mushroom recipe in the book, and you just it's kind of like making a braised mushroom, but then it soak up all the flavors and it tastes like meat.
I'll have to give that a try. And I want to go back to tofu, because here's another hang up that I find every now and again with my tofu. If you can make crispy tofu, I want to be able to make crispy tofu. And sometimes I find myself coming up short. Maggie, what's the key to a crispy tofu?
I think the key is to lightly coat them. So the way to make it very flavorful is to marinate the tofu for a little bit. So I like to use some soy sauce and maple syrup for a really brief marinating. And then you dust the tofu with a coat of cornstarch. So, and when you pan fry with, when they are coated, you can just pan fry the tofu. They will become so crunchy and crispy.
Maggie Zhu is a full-time New York-based blogger, writer, recipe developer, and the author of the new cookbook, Chinese Homestyle, Everyday Plant-Based Recipes for Takeout, Dim Sum, Noodles, and More. Still time for your questions and your stories about trying to make Chinese cuisine in your kitchen at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. And since these are all plant-based in your book, I want to ask you about the best way to go about tempeh. Maggie, what can I do with tempeh to make it feel like it's coming from, that it's authentic?
So tempeh is actually not a traditional Chinese ingredient, but I personally really like it. It's a Southeast Asian thing, I think. We don't use that much in Chinese cooking, but I love use tempeh because they have this really great texture and they don't fall apart easily like tofu. So it's because they are like fermented soybeans, and they do have this fermented taste that I'd say, I like to use tempeh in a strong, like very savory sauce. So you don't have, because otherwise sometimes it has this smell that maybe people don't like. So, for example, I use it in my fried sauce noodles. It's like Beijing style fried sauce noodles as a base. It's like to replace the meat. So I braise those tempeh bites with mushroom in my black bean sauce, and it just soak up all the flavors, and it has this nice crunchy soft texture, and it goes so well in the noodle sauce. And I also have a recipe, a straight cup. It's a kind of like straight cup chicken, but I use tempeh instead. Ooh. It's also the tempeh is like braised. You break them apart, kind of crumble it, and then you braise them in this nice soy sauce, wine, and sugar, and in this like really nice brown sauce, and finish up with aromatics. It gives it like a very rich taste. That's how I like to use it.
Let's go to your calls now at 1-800-642-1234, where Perry and Acanto standing by. Perry, you're on the air with Maggie Zhu.
All right, great. Hey, happy Chinese New Year also. My question is this. Is there any kind of recipe that you could recommend kind of as a one-stop shop as far as something that you want to make and maybe eat several meals from that's fairly simple but filling?
That's a great question. Something you could throw into like a one pot dish that you could end up eating for the next 3 or 4 days down the road, Maggie?
Oh, I think actually the sesame noodle is one of the great one, because you can make a big batch of sauce and then they stay like stay in the fridge for a week, no problem. And you can mix it with noodles with other vegetables and even if after you mix with noodle, they stay really well for a couple of days. And you can actually throw in different things like vegetables, and you can even throw in like meat. like I made this book plant-based, but I really designed it for everybody to enjoy. So that I think that's a great option.
You also have a recipe in your cookbook, Chinese Homestyle, for Dan Dan noodles, which I am dying to try. And that I would believe you could make and end up eating for a week.
Yes.
If you don't eat too much. Hey, Perry mentioned the Lunar New Year. Do you have some food memories or traditions that you really enjoy during the New Year, Maggie?
Oh, it's one of my favorite holiday because it's kind of like Thanksgiving in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So family, like everybody gather together and we cook and share really a lot of food. And my family have the tradition of making a lot of dumplings. And we just wrap them together, make hundreds of them and eat like throughout the day.
Oh, hundreds of dumplings.
Yep.
I am getting hungry this afternoon. So to wrap this all up, what are you cooking next, Maggie?
Oh, what I'm cooking. This week I'm baking.
Oh.
I'm baking some red bean buns. That is, you know, have a milk bread texture, but with a sweet red bean paste filling inside.
Red bean buns. That wouldn't be in your cookbook, would you? Or will it be in the next one?
Maybe the next one. I have this really nice red bean filled mochi in this book. You should check that out.
I look forward to checking out many of them. And Maggie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for reminding me. It's such a pleasure.
Yes. Maggie Ju is a full-time New York-based blogger and writer, recipe developer, photographer, and she joined us for our Food Friday today to talk about her new cookbook, Chinese Homestyle Everyday Plant-Based Recipes for Takeout, Dim Sum, Noodles, and more, obviously. And you can continue this conversation if you've got comments, thoughts, or you've got some recipes you want to try. You can email us ideas@WPR.org.